Who's ready for the Word of God? How many know, first of all, what anniversary the church is celebrating this month? Huh? 36. 36 years at Christian Growth Center has been in ministry. Pastor Ryle, we text usually every Sunday morning. He texts me and we back and forth. But he said, just greet the people for them. You know, let them know that they're celebrating 36 years of the uncompromised Word of God going into the New River Valley. Amen. 36 years of the uncompromised Word of God going into the New River Valley. That's something. That is a legacy. And I thank God, you know, I just thank God for Rob and Tricia Sal, for hearing from the Lord, for being obedient. And, you know, if you've heard any of his stories, any of his things that he's related about, you know, when they first got called and just, you know, how he just, he's like, no, I'm not doing that. For some reason, I just see Tricia behind him, like within one of them cow prods. You're going to go, boy. You're going to get up and do it. But thank God that they answered the call. And they came because there was a small group of people that were expecting and calling that forth. They were speaking it out of their mouth. You know, that the Lord would send them someone that would teach the uncompromised Word of God in the New River Valley. And that someone was Rob and Tricia Sal. And they answered that call and they came and they fulfilled the vision that God gave them for this local body. And you know, I don't count it any small thing that they have entrusted that to Nikki and I, to all of us really, to continue on. To continue on. And we will.
Yes.
And we will.
Amen.
Amen. We will continue to preach the uncompromised Word of God in the New River Valley, no matter how unpopular it may seem or how it's received. We will not compromise. We will not compromise the Word of God. We will not. We're not going to do it for numbers. We're not going to do it for status. We're not going to do it for favor. We will not compromise the Word of God. And I hope y'all take that stand every day, wherever you're doing, wherever you go, that you will not compromise the Word of God that is on the inside of you. No matter what is said to you, what is done to you, no matter what kind of pressure is coming on you, you will not compromise the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, glory, how many remember what I was sharing on last week? I'll tell you, briefly, we were talking about times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. And you know, when I was meditating about that, times of refreshing, that indication is plural. There are times of refreshing. Amen? What does that mean to you? Multiple, right? Multiple times of refreshing are needed in our life. You know, Jesus came and died once for all. Right? Once and for all. Once you receive Jesus, once and for all, you are eternally secure. Your place is eternally secure in heaven. You are in the kingdom of, you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Right? But he said, and that's done. That's once and for all. But he said there'll be times of refreshing. We need times of refreshing because tribulation, we talk about tribulations come. They're going to come and trials will come. But somebody say, thank God for the times of refreshing.
Thank God for the times of refreshing.
We all need those times of refreshing. And I shared out of Acts chapter 3, 19, but it comes to the Jew and the Gentile alike. It's for both of us. And I talked about there being seasons of tribulations and that we must consider them as seasons and not forever, right? They are a season only lasts for a time period. It does not last forever. Right? If you think about the four seasons, you know, that we live in, spring, fall, summer, winter. Unless you live in Florida. It's summer, 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 summer. It's summer, 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 summer. It's hot. It's hot all year round. I don't care. You're out there in short sleeves and shorts at Christmas time. It's hot. But there are seasons. There are seasons of tribulations. So therefore, there are times of refreshing. I think we need to get this. I want you to get this in your thinking. That whatever you're going through is temporary. No matter what you are going through, it is temporary. And I believe we're going to see a key on just how temporary that is today. Because it can be prolonged, or I believe it can be shortened based on what we're going to talk about today. I said you were going to get something that's going to impact your life. And I believe if you have ears to hear today, you're going to receive something that will impact your life. Amen? And we talked about how do we access these times of refreshing. We said through faith. And we said through faith in what? Well, through faith in Jesus. Because if you read that, and we're not going to read it today. If you go back to Acts 3 and read through there, it talks about when Jesus came, He was the one that brought the times of refreshing to the Jew first and to the Gentile also. Jesus, believing in Jesus, believing on the name of Jesus, that is your access to the times of refreshing through faith in Jesus, in His name, and what He has done. Amen? So here's the key, though. This is the key that I want to talk about today. The key to accessing the times of refreshing and the key to possibly shortening or lengthening those times of tribulations and trials in our life. You see, times of refreshing have been provided for us, but we have not appropriated them. What do I mean by that? Well, turn to Romans chapter 4. Times of refreshing have been provided through Jesus, but we have not appropriated them fully, I believe. And this is the key that I want to talk about. Romans chapter 4, I'm going to share out of the King James. And I'm going to start in verse 18. Romans 4, 18, King James reads this. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'm not in Romans 4. I am in Acts 4. I'm like, Lord, this does not sound right. And y'all are just sitting there listening so patiently. Hey, that was pretty good, though. That could be applied. I can't believe y'all just sat there and let me read that. You did? I didn't hear you. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, not Acts. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Said, who against hope believed in hope that he might... He's talking about Abraham here. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, his wife. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, given glory to God, and this is the key, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's what I want to talk about today in accessing those times of refreshing in your life. We've got to be fully persuaded. Not halfway persuaded, not have a half mind about it, not waver back and forth, but we must be fully persuaded. Have you ever been fully persuaded about something? Where you know that you know that you know. There's not a doubt. There's not anything anybody could say to you to change your mind. You are fully persuaded. That was Abraham. He was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he said he could do. Not even considering the deadness of his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. We all have things in our life that when we look at, we say, that can't happen. You know, I'm too old, or, you know, this is going on in my body. I can't do that. But the Word says he was fully persuaded. So what I'm saying is, if God is saying it, and you grab a hold and you become fully persuaded of it, there's nothing that can stop you.
Right.
Nothing that can stop you. Amen?
But
how do we get fully persuaded? You know, how many remember doing your times tables in school? For you younger kids, y'all don't even know what that word means. Can you remember? I mean, we had a sheet and we did them over and over and over. 2 times 3, 2 times 4, 2 times 5, 2 times 6, 3 times 3, 3 times 4. What is it? We did it. Why? Repetition commits it to memory. So now when you say 3 times 4 is 12, I am fully persuaded that that is 12, and there's nothing you can say. It doesn't equal 9. It doesn't equal 8. I don't care what kind of new math they invent. You ask the younger generation, hold on, let me get my calculator out. They don't even know what a calculator is. Let me get my phone out. There's something to be said about knowing your times tables. Abraham, I got Abe here. You know, we're on such good terms, I just call him Abe. Abe was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised. What was his promise? Well, we know that he'd be the father of many nations, but it was also peace with God and grace in times of need. And if you read down further, you'll receive that out of that scripture. Peace with God and grace in times of need. Listen to that. Peace with God and grace in times of need. I believe we all have times of need that we have to appropriate that grace. That grace that reaches beyond our understanding. That grace that gives us hope for a future. And that peace that passes all understanding, no matter what we're facing. That was his promise to Abraham. So we'll have seasons of trials and tribulations. But Jesus is the harbinger of peace and grace. Harbinger, what do I mean? How do you know spring is coming? Come on, y'all bird watchers. Well, that's true. He does promise the season. Buds on the tree, yes. But I'm thinking of that big, fat, red-bellied bird. Robin. I don't know. That's what I learned when I was growing up. If you see the robins out, you know spring is on the way. Jesus saw the leaves on the fig tree. Signs, harbingers of something coming. The definition of it is a person or thing that announces or signals approach of another. A forerunner, a herald, a sign, an indication, a signal, a forewarning. What was the harbinger of your times of refreshing? It was Jesus. He was the foretelling of your times of refreshing. He was the sign of your times of refreshing. He was the herald of your times of refreshing. He was the person that announced or the signal of the approach of your times of refreshing. It was Jesus and his atoning work on the cross. Turn to Romans 5. And we're talking about Jesus being the forerunner of our times of refreshing. Faith in the name of Jesus brings our times of refreshing, right? We're talking about being fully persuaded in those times of refreshing. Romans 5. Verse 3 out of King James reads like this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We must be fully persuaded that Jesus is enough, and that the grace of God that Jesus died to purchase for you is enough. It's enough. Jesus is enough. He said, right? I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in, he's everything in between. He is enough. We must have faith in his name and be fully persuaded that he is well able. Knowing that in the middle of your trial or tribulation that there is hope. And that's where the season comes. We can, I believe, shorten that season of trial and tribulation, or we can prolong it based on whether we are fully persuaded in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. What did he say? When he was up there, he said, it is finished. Everything you have need of is provided for. He's given you a way out. He's given you a way in. He's given you opportunities. He's given you times of refreshing. And if you will be fully persuaded, that hope never disappoints. Never, never disappoints. The Amplified verse 5 reads this way. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope never disappoints. You know, have you ever heard someone, and I know they're trying to be kind and gentle and helpful, and they say, oh, don't get your hopes up. Has anybody ever said that to you? You're believing for something, you're, you know, wanting, I don't know what it may be, but you're believing for something, and they're being, you know, their motives are pure, I believe. They're just ignorant, and I don't mean that in a condescending way. Oh, but don't get your hopes up. No, no. Get your hopes up. Because the Word says that hope never disappoints. Never disappoints. That hope in Jesus. That faith in Jesus. That hope in those times of refreshing will never disappoint. But we must be fully persuaded. Right? Fully persuaded. You want times of refreshing? Then be fully persuaded that Jesus is enough and his blood is enough and God's grace is sufficient and that it is finished. It is finished. Not being double-minded. Yeah, but Todd, you don't understand. You know, when someone says that, don't get your hopes up, I believe that's just that tries to activate fear inside of us. That's trying to get us to agree with that fear that it's not possible. That's trying to get us to agree with that fear that circumstances are beyond our overcoming, beyond our conquering. It's trying to get us to agree with that. But we have to agree with what the Word says. We have to speak what the Word says. You know, speak. Faith speaks. And faith speaks what the Word says. And when you speak what the Word says, you'll never be disappointed. Because hope never disappoints. What are you, you know, Jesus commanded Lazarus to come forth. What are you commanding in your life with your words? He spoke the words. Now, I believe Jesus could have walked up, rolled that stone away, and carried Lazarus out of that tomb. But no, he didn't do that. In fact, he said something to the Father. And I'm going to challenge you to go back and reread that passage. But he spoke it. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He called something that was dead back to life with his words. We need to use our words. Our words. Just like doing those times tables over and over and over. We need to be speaking those words over and over and over. Building faith up on the inside of us. So that we can become fully persuaded. Is this making any sense? Turn to James chapter 1. I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified on this one. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort, or fall into various temptations, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers or hesitates or doubts is like a billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unable or unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. I wrote in the side of my Bible, make a quality decision. Make a quality decision and don't turn back from it. You know, when Nikki and I got married, we said this. We made a point of having this conversation that we would never mention the word divorce. We would never threaten it, you know. I mean, you get in a hot and heavy argument and people throw that word around. And we said to each other, we will never use that word. We'll never throw that word around. We'll never say it. We made a quality decision that day that we would never use that word, and we never have. Have we? No, we haven't. I'm not going to ask if she thought it, but she certainly didn't say it. That's for true. That's true. That was a quality decision that we made. That's what equality is. You make a decision and you stick to it. Right? And if that decision is based on the Word of God and you're fully persuaded by it, then nothing can take you off of that. Nothing can persuade you otherwise. Amen? We're talking about being fully persuaded. My thought based on this is that the sooner you are fully persuaded, the sooner your trial or tribulation will end. You're going through something? First, you gotta, hopefully, you've had faith put in. You know what the Word says about that situation. If you don't, you have to find that out first. And once you know what the Word says about it, you must be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. No doubt. No double-mindedness. No thinking, oh, well, no, no. Fully persuaded. Because Jesus provided. You just have to appropriate it. Does that make sense? Verse 3 in that paragraph we just read, it says it is a trying of your faith that works patience. The trying of your faith that works patience. Faith is simply being fully persuaded. When you have faith in something, you are fully persuaded that it will come to pass. And that's how we have to live. We have to live lives of faith, being fully persuaded that everything that God has promised for us, to us, will come to pass. Listen, we said in the beginning, we preach the uncompromised Word of God. No matter how unpopular it is, no matter how many people don't believe in it. There was a situation Carol shared this morning about something. That there was no faith behind the statement that was made. We have to know what the Word says. And we have to speak what the Word says. And we have to believe and be fully persuaded in our heart that it will come to pass. So whatever situation you're going through right now, whatever trial you're in, whatever circumstance is happening in your life right now, I want you to speak the Word over it. And listen, You can have knowledge about a situation, but not be in faith. Okay? You can know what the Word says about it, but not be in faith. I mean, the Word says even the demons know who God is, right? But that doesn't mean they submit to Him. You can have knowledge about a situation. You can have knowledge. You can know what the Word says about a situation. But if you don't appropriate it in faith, it does you no good. But if you keep rehearsing it over and over until that faith is... This is why we come on Sundays, right? And not only to fellowship with one another, but it's to get our faith built up. That's why we come Sunday mornings to growth class. It's to help build our faith up. That's why we come out Wednesday night prayers, to keep us in faith. That's why you should be reading your Word every day, is to keep you in faith. I'm telling you, if you're not reading your Word on a regular basis, I don't know how you can remain in faith about anything. Amen. Can I be bold enough to say that?
Yes.
Let me say it again. This is an encouragement to some of y'all. If you are not reading your Word on a regular basis, I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not saying you have to do it for 10 minutes in the morning every day. I'm not saying you got to do it. If you're not doing it on a regular consistent basis over time, I don't know how you can remain in faith. That's not to bring condemnation on anyone who's not reading their Bible. It's to encourage you to get in your Word. Spend time in fellowship with God, because you need to be in faith. I believe to be an overcomer in this world, in this day and age, in the things that are coming upon this earth, you need to be in faith. You need to be fully persuaded that what God has promised, He is well able to do. And you watch your situation turn around. I know that it's not as easy as it sounds. I understand that. Because if it was easy, then we wouldn't have no problems. Everybody'd be doing it. I understand that's not easy. I'm talking to myself too. But I'm telling you, it's necessary. It's absolutely critical. Yes, amen. And you can't say that flippantly. You can't say, oh, we'll just be in faith. I've got this, someone confides in somebody, oh, I've got this situation going on in my life, and bears their heart to them, oh, I'll just be in faith about it. You can't do that. It's, consider, y'all have heard the news, I'm sure, about the two teenagers involved in the car accident, and one lost their life. And, I'm sure that family is hurting and in turmoil and in pain. And I can't identify with the grief that they are feeling right now. And you couldn't go to them and just say, oh, just be in faith. Just be in faith. No. The truth is, that's exactly what they need. They need to have faith in God. They need to have faith in God and enter into His grace. Because only His grace, I believe, can get someone through something like that. We all need His grace. We all need His grace. But we must appropriate it through faith. Faith that Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a grave, was raised on the third day, sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding on our behalf. Faith in that. I'm telling you, you can take that to the bank. You can have faith that Jesus did that for you. And that the times of refreshing are coming. And if you're fully persuaded in that, that those times of tribulations and trials are going to be shortened. I'm not saying eliminated. I'm saying shortened. How many would rather go through a short tribulation than a long tribulation? How many want to miss the 7-year tribulation? The great tribulation, the Bible calls it. Well, you must be fully persuaded. Amen. That you are God's. And fully persuaded that His grace is sufficient to sustain you. And we know from Proverbs 18, you've heard Pastor Rob's say this over and over, and how the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain and times of trouble. In fact, I remember his testimony about his son Rob when he went to heaven, and how had it not been for a strong spirit on the inside of Pastor Rob when Rob Jr. Went to heaven, that he doesn't think he would have been able to withstand that. It's the strong spirit of man, and we get our strong spirit by fellowshipping with God, by reading His Word, by speaking forth the promises of God by being fully persuaded by what the Word says that we can have, and then take it. By hearing the Word of God and spending time with Him. Faith is not something we can work up, pray up, or make up. It only comes through fellowship with the Father. And I know this is simple stuff. This is Faith 101 stuff. But we've got to be constantly reminded, constantly built up. Constantly. I've said it before, the gospel's a simple message. It is a simple message. But we need to be constantly reminded, constantly built up, constantly fed. You know, it's just like doing those times tables over and over and over and over. How many know what 12 times 11 is? Come on. I heard it from the back of the room. And it wasn't from a young person. Look, some of y'all are still adding it up in your minds. I thought I saw one person reach for their phone. We got to constantly rehearse this stuff. Constantly put it in, right? Constantly put it in. Because what you put in is going to be what comes out. If you're constantly putting fear into your spirit, man, when the occasion comes, fear is going to come out. When something happens, a situation arises, you're going to operate in fear over that situation. But if you are constantly putting faith in, you're constantly putting the Word of God in, you are constantly rehearsing the things of God in your life, then that faith is going to come out when that circumstance hits, when that trial or tribulation comes. And you'll be able to speak to it in faith, being fully persuaded. And it'll shorten that season of tribulation. Acts, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. Acts chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And the suggestion pleased the whole assembly, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith, a strong and welcome belief that Jesus is the Messiah, and full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit." And if you know, and if you've read, I mean, Stephen has a tremendous, it's my favorite, one of my favorite, I can't say my favorite, one of my favorite passages in the Bible where Stephen has this dissertation where he just, man, he is on it. They're stoning him. And he's speaking this stuff for, he's in the middle of a serious trial. And what rises out up out of him, what rises up out of Stephen is his faith. In the midst of being stoned to death, his faith rises up on the inside of him. No doubt, no unbelief, no mystery, no fear, faith. How many of us can do that? In the midst of what we're going through, let faith rise up. Be speaking forth the oracles of God. A strong and welcome belief that Jesus is the Messiah. That was his faith. Which brings us back to the beginning when we were talking about Abraham. And we're going to close with this. Abraham was fully persuaded. He had faith that God was able. Right? He had faith that God was able. We are to be fully persuaded, just like Stephen, that Jesus is the Messiah and He is the harbinger of our times of refreshing. Fully persuaded. You must be fully persuaded. No doubt, no fear, no wavering. What does Paul tell Timothy? He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. You have the power within you to overcome any situation. He has given you all the tools that you have need of to fix any project, to build anything. It's all been provided. We just need to appropriate it. Amen? What are you fully persuaded of today? Are you fully persuaded that Jesus is alive? Are you fully persuaded that He has provided all that you have need of? Are you fully persuaded that you need to fellowship with Him each and every day in some way? We need to look, each one of us, look at our life. You know, the Word says that Jesus, and I forget how exactly it puts it, He is the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. Thank you, Jesus. We're to look to Jesus. And I believe that that is all attainable. Being fully persuaded, I believe, is attainable. Having no fear, I believe, is attainable. Shortening your season of trial or tribulation is attainable. You ever had a head cold or congestion or something, and people will say, oh, you just got to let it run its course. I don't believe that. I believe you can speak to that. And I believe you can shorten that time frame. I mean, if the devil came into your house and was ransacking your house, would you just say, oh, just go on, take what you want. Go on, it's yours, you can have it. No, we're people of faith, right? We would rise up and speak to that situation. We don't have to lay down and take it. Oh, but the Bible says turn the other cheek. Well, that's in a different situation. That's not when the enemy is coming and ransacking your house. So, that is my encouragement today. We must be fully persuaded, knowing that Jesus is the author of our faith, the finisher of our faith. That it is attainable. These things are attainable. And that in this day and age, in this time, in this season, in this moed, we need to be fully persuaded that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus has provided all. And that we will appropriate what He's provided for us. And we will be victorious. Because, someone say it, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Through Christ Jesus, I am more than a conqueror.
Christ Jesus, I am more than a conqueror.
And we are. We are. You can be more than a conqueror in every area of your life. Every area. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, you can be more than a conqueror. You can be victorious. You can be on top of that situation. If you're fully persuaded and have faith. Amen. Lord, I believe that There are people sitting here that need to be fully persuaded. And I believe that because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of them and is leading them and guiding them, that He is showing them right now what they need to change in their life to become fully persuaded. They are looking inside, not paying attention to their environment, to their circumstance, to the situation that they're in. But they are looking to the inside and saying, God, what do I need to change within me? Show me, Holy Spirit. And take out anything that is not of you. Because I believe all people want to live a life of faith. I do. Whether they even understand that word or not, I believe all people want to live a life of faith. And I believe the Holy Spirit that indwells us helps us, shows us, leads us and guides us on the inside. Helps us make corrections, change direction. And I believe He's doing that for some people here today. I do. I do. I believe He is helping you right now to make a change in your life, because He needs you to operate in faith. No longer operating out of fear, motivated by fear, trapped by fear, engulfed in fear. No. No. But in faith. Amen.